Here is a quote from Stephen McGee's book, Electrical Forensics. Quote, regarding wireless transmitting devices, I have found after many plant growth experiments, near exposures to transmitters are the most harmful. The most harmful transmitters that I have found are the lowest power ones that are sold to consumers as harmless wireless products. Devices that continually broadcast pulses of radiation every several seconds are the worst, such as wireless weather station sensors, end quote. I'm going to tell you who Stephen is and what happened to my wife's herb garden and my poor chickens when I foolishly placed wireless sensors near each. Sometimes it's the little things that hurt you. Coming up.
EMF Remedy is dedicated to helping you understand which electromagnetic threats are present in your home, and whether in the context of your current home, one you're considering for purchase, or building a new home with comprehensive protection designed in, EMF Remedy can help you reduce your family's exposure to harmful, man-made electromagnetic radiation.
Hi, this is Keith Cutter with EMFRemedy.com, and you are listening to Reversing Electromagnetic Poisoning, where our objective is to get you out of the fear of EMF and into doing something about it. Assessment and remediation so that you can turn your home into something more natural. All right. So we're going to talk about the little tiny wireless transmitters that you have with a wireless weather station as an example of a tiny, innocuous, ridiculously small-seeming RF device that can easily be overlooked, and I'm going to talk about how that can happen, and yet they can be much more harmful than other things that seems so much more obvious, and yet it's a paradox. Why do these small devices with relatively low RF radiation output cause so much trouble? All right, so Stephen McGee is an electrical engineer, and he's written several books. I want to spell his last name for you in case you're interested in learning more about him. It's McGee, M-A-G-E-E. And he reminds me a little bit of John Ott, an author I love of the book Health and Light. Both of these men seem to be cut from the cloth of a naturalist in the finest tradition. They have a question and they use the scientific process to determine the answer. So Stephen knows what it's like to experience electromagnetic poisoning. I think he prefers the more popular term electromagnetic hypersensitivity. He wrote a few books, and the one I mentioned, Electrical Forensics, is where I found that quote. Now, what he did that I thought was brilliant was he used plants as test subjects. And he tested everything from smart meters to smoke detectors and beyond. And he shares the results of his testing and more in that book. I think his favorite plant was the Diefenbachia or the dumb cane. And when I read this book, it was when I was really sick. This goes back a few years before I began to build resilience, before I figured out what electromagnetic poisoning was really all about, how to do assessments, how to do remediation. I had lost everything. For the first time in my life, I was unable to provide for my family. I was unable to work, and that was humiliating. And it was a very dark, time. Although what I will say is I drew much closer to my creator. And I am forever grateful for that. And I've learned this career and I've learned how to help many people with electromagnetic poisoning. So a lot of good has come out of that very dark time. But when I was really sick, I was reading this book by Stephen. And when I came to that part, I realized I had a wireless weather station in my home. I loved, you know, the weather and trying to predict the weather. And I had some instruments that my dad bought for me when I was a child. And that weather station was wireless. Yeah, you had to go outside and see what it said, and then you could write it down on paper and bring it in the house if you wanted. Not what wireless means today, with RF radiation being emitted. So anyway, I've loved the weather station and trying to predict weather since I was a kid. And so I had one of these wireless stations in my home, and I first read that quote from Stephen: devices that continually broadcast pulses of radiation every several seconds are the worst, such as wireless weather station sensors. Now, I thought maybe he was exaggerating. By this time, I was a ham radio operator. I had had a lot of experience transmitting using radio frequency radiation to do that. I knew a lot about the different power levels associated, and these devices, these little sensors, they're small. They're like 5 inches by 1.5 inches wide. They have two AA batteries in them typically. And those two batteries will power the device for, I don't know, 1 to 2 years is my recollection. So two AA batteries over 2 years, that's not a whole lot of energy. And so, I'm thinking, gosh, in the overall scheme of things, you've got routers and you've got cell phone towers and you've got smartphones and smartwatches and Wi-Fi and all these things that pump out a lot more RF radiation. And then here's Stephen bringing up that he said, I'm going to read it again, the most harmful transmitters that I have found are the lowest power ones. And what stuck with me is devices that he says continually broadcast pulses of radiation every several seconds are the worst. I found that to be true. That's why I'm doing this episode. I just wanted to share it with you. In terms of measured intensity of radiation, yes, I did take an RF meter and measure. If I get right up next to the device, it's putting out 1,000 microwatts per square meter. Although it's not really fair, you know, when you see somebody stick an RF meter right on top of or directly next to an RF emitter, because the bulk of these are not what are called near field devices. They're meant for the far field, which is well, it's a function of the wavelength of the frequency that you're studying. So anyway, somewhere in the hundreds to 1,000 microwatts per square meter near the device, and 6 feet away, what I measured was less than 2 microwatts per square meter. So for most people, that would be something that you would maybe overlook entirely. And to make the situation even worse, there's a pulse of RF radiation, and then there's a silent period where the device is not transmitting anything at all for a period of time. Now, they're a lot like smart meters in this regard, and the period varies from device to device, both with these weather monitors and with smart meters. They may be broadcasting every 10 seconds, it may be every 20, it may be every 30. And it just depends on the particular device and I think sometimes the way it has been programmed. So I am going to give you a treat here if you're ready. I don't want to offend anybody's ears, but I've gone to the trouble of setting up one of these devices and a meter and a recording device, and I'm going to play for you what it sounds like, what you will hear if you're doing an audio analysis while you're sampling on your meter, what it sounds like on the meter, okay? It's just going to be one burst of RF, and here it comes. All right. So that's it. So there'll be a pulse like that with this particular device that I have, and then it'll be 30 seconds without anything, and then another pulse. And what's happening within that pulse is, of course, the information that the sensor has picked up, in this case, temperature. Could be temperature and humidity. Could be rainfall. Could be wind speed. Could be wind direction, depending on the type of sensor you have. And then that information is bundled up, and in that short burst, that information is transmitted then to the receiver. Relatively low intensity source, like I said, 6 feet away, we're down to only 2 microwatts per square meter. Now, depending on where you live, you might not even be able to discern that you have a device like this, because it might be your RF environment might be noisy. And even a cell phone tower a half mile away would pretty much make it impossible to discern, I think, if you had one of these devices, or if your neighbor has a Wi-Fi going, it would be very difficult. So take some time. Make sure that if you have one of these devices, you really want to think about, is it worth the risk? So let me tell you what happened at our place. We had 2 sensors, 2 transmitters. One was on the front porch. The other was inside the chicken coop about 100 feet away. So I'm going to tell you what happened at each location. So we had a covered porch, and my wife had a lovely herb garden in a cedar planter box. And for 2 years running, we couldn't get that herb garden to do anything. The herbs came up, and that was it. They never flourished. I mean, we maybe got 1 seasonings for 1 meal out of this herb garden. It was ridiculous. And neither of us could figure out why, when we've been successful in gardening in a number of different climates, a number of different homes, we couldn't get this herb garden going. And it wasn't until I read Stephen's book and learned more about EMF that we realized what the problem was. We removed the sensor, and that's it. It worked fine. Now the poor chickens. Okay, so no chickens died during this period. I had the misguided thought that our chickens might get cold, and I wanted to know in the winter if it actually froze inside their coop, which was ridiculous. I mean, we had by that period of time 20 years of experience raising chickens. So I don't know. I guess maybe the truth is more like I had one more sensor and I was trying to figure a place to put it. But anyway, I did in fact stick it in the chicken coop. And if you're curious, no, it never even got anywhere near freezing. Even when it was far below freezing, I guess the chickens were keeping it warmer in that coop than I had imagined. But the chickens didn't do well in the sense that they never reached their laying potential. So depending on the breed of chickens that you have and how well you take care of them and feed them and whatnot, you can expect a certain yield from the chickens, you might expect up to an egg a day. It just depends on the breed and the climate and the time of year and a number of different things. But we'd raised a lot of groups of chickens, and these just never reached their potential. They weren't even close to it. They were maybe doing half of that. Can I prove then that the problem was this wireless transmitter inside the chicken coop? No, of course I can't prove that. Do I need proof? No, I took the transmitter out of the chicken coop. Why take the chance? In fact, I've not had a wireless weather station since that time. So there really is, in my experience, something about periodic transmissions which repeat every few seconds. I don't know, somewhere there's a calculus, I'm guessing, where a very low intensity periodic transmission every 10 seconds equates to something much larger intensity on a, you know, continuous basis. I don't know what the math is on it, but I have experienced enough to be in agreement with Mr. McGee here that, there's periodic transmissions repeating even at a low level are a real problem. For some reason, it just seems more harmful. So that's really what I want to share with you. And I think about smart meters repeating every few seconds as well. Same thing. Seem to cause much more damage than you think they should. Same, by the way, everybody thinks about their smart meter, the electric meter. But if you are on natural gas and you have a smart meter on your natural gas meter, that's going to be doing the same thing. And the same if you have a smart water meter on your home, which is becoming very common. So I checked it out today, actually went to Walmart. They sell these things, you know, like less than $20. Two little AA batteries power the transmitter for 1 or 2 years. I mean, that's not a lot of power over a long period of time. And they also sell them, of course, in hardware stores and whatnot. There's no warning label at all, at least not on the packages that I've seen. The one that you heard earlier in this broadcast operates on what's called an ISM band. And the band that they all seem to operate on is around the 400 megahertz. Now, 400 megahertz is a much longer wavelength, which gives much better penetration through, well, building materials and I suppose living things as well, than the ISM band at 2.4 gigahertz, which is much more familiar to many of us. You know, that's where all the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth and the microwave ovens live. So I'm with Dr. Neil Cherry. I think the only known safe level of exposure to RF radiation is zero. Even a little bit, two AA batteries measuring 2 microwatts per square meter 6 feet away can be harmful. I don't know that anyone has done any serious research on the human effects, and I'm not holding my breath. I don't allow any RF emitters in my home. And if you're serious about reversing the electromagnetic poisoning in your life, maybe you'd like to consider the same approach. So I hope this has been a blessing for you. If you have one of these devices, take a look around. Tell me what you see with your plants, with your animals. And if these episodes are helpful for you, would you consider becoming a supporter of the show? The link is in the description, or leave a review. That would be very helpful. Keith Cutter, emfremedy.com. See you next time.